So we have been talking about gifts from above. Each one of you is a gift. The first thing we talked about was in Romans 12, 6 through 8, we talked about the motivational or redemptive gifts. These are the gifts. These are the gifts that God endows inwardly within us. It's how we view the world. And we talked about the prophetic, the teaching, right? We talked about the teacher. We talked about the exhorter, the giver, the ruler, and the mercy gift. And all seven of these gifts are how we view the world. You know, some people are very black and white about things. Some people are extremely, they see the world in a very certain way, and they have that prophetic viewpoint. Some have a servant's viewpoint. They want to serve other people, and they get their joy and fulfillment, and they look for needs to help people. Some people are teachers, and they're constantly correcting everyone around them, but that's their nature. And we think they're broken, but they're not broken. That's their nature. So you know what you do? You honor who they are. You honor how God has created them. See, God gave gifts not only to men, but he gave them according to Psalm 68:18 to receive from men. Every time you use your gift, every time you teach someone, serve somebody, have mercy on someone, every time that you administer things or rule things, every time you do that, you're giving back to God what he gave to you. Matter of fact, Jesus called these talents and talked about the talents that we all have, right? The gifts that we have to give away. And the one thing that I saw in what Jesus taught was he was interested in what? Results. Amen. He's not interested in good intentions. He's interested in results. He looked at those people, the guy that had five talents had, you know, they gave one talent, now produced five talents. He gave him five more talents. He gave me more. The person started with three talents, got six talents or whatever. You get the idea. But the person who took his one talent and hid it in the ground, that person was judged because they were not faithful to use what God had given them as a possession. We have to be motivated to use our gifts. That's why here we have over 25 different ministries operating out of this church. That's more than any church in the area that I know of. And I'm not trying to compare. I'm trying to show you the value of this church. The value of this church is we believe in activating people to do ministry. I am not the hub. I am not the master of what takes place. I am here as an exhorter, as a cheerleader, and as a servant leader to help you guys achieve what you are supposed to achieve. I'm an equipper that equips you to do the works of the ministry. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Okay, that's free. Now we'll get to the message. I want you to, so tell me, so ask yourself this, what am I called to do on this earth? Ask yourself, what is my calling? What is my motivational redemptive gift? And then make sure that you apply it and use it on a daily basis. The Bible says that your gift will make room for itself. Do you believe that? Do you believe in God? I tell Christians this all the time. If you really believed what you say you believed in, you would live differently. If you really believed that you were going to meet Jesus tomorrow and he was going to judge you for what you did today, you would work your butt off today. You hear what I'm saying? You would make sure that you worked hard so that when I'm telling you, God's giving you a day, and that day is your lifetime. And at the end of your lifetime, you will be judged for every word spoken from your mouth and every deed done through your body.
I like that.
That scares me. If it doesn't scare you, I think maybe you need a wake-up call. That's a wake-up call for me. So I'm so blessed that you're here. And trust me, of all of Summit to Hunga, there's, and I'm just using them because I have the stats for it, there are 66,000 people, according to this old stat. Only 1,500 go to church. That means there's 64,500 in just Summit to Hunga alone that don't go to church. Churches are not competing with one another. We need to join forces with churches and go spread the gospel. Amen? So now we're talking not about the motivational redemptive gifts, we're talking about the manifestation gifts, and today we're talking about the power gifts. So the power gifts, what are the power gifts, how do they work, and how do we use them? So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11 as review. To each is given the manifestation, now hear this, the manifestation of the Spirit for what? The common good. Not for you to start, you know, a worldwide ministry and become rich and fly around in your own personal jet. This is for the common good.
Oh, no, no.
I'm just joking with you, baby. Just that odd pause, right? Just pause. What'd you say? love you, baby. All right. For to one is given the spirit of the utterance of wisdom, or the word of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, or the word of knowledge, according to the same spirit, to another faith by the same spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the one spirit, and to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, which we'll be speaking about next week, and Jeannie will be joining with me, and we'll be sharing the pulpit as we talk about prophecy, we talk about various kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, also the distinguish between spirits, which we talked about last week. All these are empowered by one and the same spirit who apportions to each individual. Who? Each individual. Are you in each? We're all in each, so all of you have gifts, one individually as he wills. Of these nine manifestation gifts, three are considered to be power gifts, faith, healing, and working of miracles. So we're going to be talking about faith, healing, and working of miracles. Amen? The power gifts are those gifts that manifest the power of God to overcome natural laws and circumstances. Unlike revelatory gifts, power gifts draw crowds and demonstrate God's power and authority over the natural universe. I have a quote here. Power gifts draw people's attention to what God is doing in their midst. Jesus would use a power gift and then crowds would come, right? He multiplied the food. That was the working of a miracle right there, right? And that was a wonder and that was a sign. And then everyone would come because of free food, just like what Wesley's going to do today. Free food. Amen? El Pollo Loco at Dave and Kim's. Address in the info table. Amen? So faith, what is the power gift of faith? Faith is a supernatural trust in God's defying the circumstances and logic. Isn't that amazing? Faith, I love being around people that have the gift of faith. Because you'll sit there and go, oh, we need a building, but we don't have any money. And they'll turn to you and they'll go, God will provide. Amen. Just figure out what he wants to do and go do it. God will be there. Well, that's scary, brother, because I got to come up with a down payment check. You got to do it. When you're around a person that has a gift of faith, nothing is impossible.
Amen.
Nothing's impossible. You ever meet these people? They're irritating. Because they're challenging you to step out where you don't feel comfortable.
Yes, she does.
That's true.
I'm telling you, it's so important that you receive from these people. Stay humble, stay open, because they're the ones that will break through and bring in the provision of God. See, if you hang out with people of faith, even though they challenge you and they make you feel uncomfortable, they will help you and guide you into getting into alignment with God to receive his provision.
Amen.
So what's the power of faith? It's like nothing's impossible.
Amen.
It's like I'm just ready for it. You know what? I love Heidi Baker. She's out there in Maui. She's out Maui or whatever that is. She's out there and she's out there in that country. And you know what? They don't have any food. She just prays to God and God multiplies the food. She's working in this. So every gift here works by faith. Matter of fact, Romans 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Every gift works by faith, but if you don't have the gift and you try to do it, it doesn't matter what faith you have, right? You have to be gifted in that area. But here's what Jesus said, desire the gifts. Paul actually said it, desire the gifts. And that word is like envy, be jealous. I mean, you want that gift. Because you know what? If that's a desire in your heart, that's because God placed it in your heart. And he's going to honor your persistence in working in that area. Amen? By the way, we're going to pray for the sick today. It's going to be awesome. We're going to see God move. The ability to step into a situation that only God can save you from. That's another definition I put. The ability to step into a situation. People of faith will place themselves in jeopardy just to watch God move. By the way, folks, JR, we're going to have to put the black chairs out next week, just so you know. We have to add some chairs in here.
In the front. God.
Is that great what God's doing? I'm like so thrilled. I'm just like, you know. I wish it was my preaching. It's Jesus. I'm just happy it's Jesus. Now listen to this. I want you to hear this. The gift of faith. The ability to step out into a situation that only God can save you from.
That's right.
Think about that. The ability to step into a situation and go, God, if you don't show up, I'm screwed. That is the gift of faith. That is the gift of faith. Amen? The gift of faith oftentimes leads the way to God's supernatural provision. That's what it does. It leads to God's supernatural provision. And so I love that. And we're going to share a scripture. I'm not going to share a scripture in each one because of time, but I'm going to share a scripture on that shortly. And here we go. We're starting the working of miracles. So if that's faith, then what is the working of miracles? The working of miracles is what helps draw people's attention to the message of the gospel. Jesus realized that more than words were needed to get people's attention to what he had to say. He realized that just him speaking wasn't enough, that he had to show God's approval on what he was doing. Amen? In John 2, 1 through 11, one of my favorite stories is the wedding at Cana. Let's read it. 2, 1 through 11. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, how many know Jewish mothers, right? Come on now. And Jesus was invited to the wedding with his disciples. And when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not come." He gives her rebuff. He says, "My hour has not come." But listen, God is always going to draw your best faith out. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
Even if you get rebuffed, don't give up if you know that it's God that's leading you to it. She knew it was God, and she wouldn't give up. So she activated her gift of faith. I want you to see this. She acted, and she said to him, and his mother said to the servants, he didn't say, oh, he said no. She went to him and says, "Do whatever he tells you." Well, he just told her I wasn't going to do it. And then she turns around, those servants are standing there, and she says, "Do whatever he says." Jewish mothers, man, come on, man. Now there were six stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, which hold about 20 or 30 gallons. Can you imagine 6 times 30 is 180 gallons? Okay, jeez. Talk about a wedding. Woo. And Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water and fill them up to the brim." So he didn't just like fill them halfway. He says, "Fill them up to the top."
Hallelujah.
Because if God's going to do something, he's going to do it in abundance.
Yes.
He's going to do it in abundance. That's what I love about God. He's not the God of enough. He's the God of more than enough. Come on. I'd go into the whole total meaning of Shaddai, but it means more than enough. Now there were six. Okay, Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water, fill them up to the brim." And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. So look at Jesus didn't sit there and go, "Now pull some out, let me try it, because I want to make sure this worked." You see, faith doesn't work that way. Faith doesn't work that way. He didn't sit there, pull some out, and taste it yourself and tell me what you think. Before, you know, he said, "Take it to where the public, where everyone's going to see it."
Amen.
So they took that water out and they poured it into the cup, and they're looking, it's just water. But it's that act of faith. It's when they were walking to the master of the ceremony that it turned from water to wine. Now notice that Jesus didn't get up there and do one of these things where he stands. I was going to jump up here, but I'm smarter than that. And where he sits there and goes, "God in heaven, show that you approve of me and change this water." He didn't do any of that. He didn't say any special words. There were no hokey pokey stuff going on there. He just said, "Take the water and take it to the mat. Pour it out there." But he didn't call it water. He said, "Draw some from the and take it." And so they're taking this cup and they're going, "Man, I feel stupid doing this." When you're acting in a miracle, you're going to feel stupid before it happens. Let me tell you, you're going to feel vulnerable. You're going to feel like bad things could happen, but you're going to take that water and you're going to go, "Okay, God, I'm trusting you." It's that trust that activates the miracle.
Amen.
It's that trust that makes it come to pass. When the master of the feast tasted the what?
Wine.
No, it says water now. Tasted the water, now become wine. When did it happen? As he's walking there, as he gave it to the master, it went from water to wine. Now become wine, and did not know where it came from. Through the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then when people have drunk freely," I don't know what they're drinking anymore. "Then the but poor wine, but you have kept the good wine until now. This is the first of the signs that Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory in his disciples, what?
Believed in him.
You see, now they knew something was special about Jesus. They knew that because they were already following him, right? But it was when they start to saw the miracles that they really, truly went to that level of full belief. See what I'm saying? And God is not done doing miracles. We'll go through that in a moment. So both the gift of faith and the working of miracles are demonstrated in this event. First, Mary demonstrates the gift of faith by ignoring the rebuff and standing in faith for the miracle. As is often the case, Jesus was drawing her faith to a new level. Jesus is drawing your faith today to a new level. He wants you to step into a new level of faith. And let me tell you something, just from personal experience, you're going to step out and sometimes it's not going to work. And you're going to be like, what did I do wrong? And sometimes God's saying, try it again. Try it again.
Hallelujah.
And you're like, but it didn't work that time. Try it again.
Amen.
See, he's drawing that faith up to another level. Some people think that failure is failure. No, failure is the road to success.
Yeah.
It's by doing it that you become successful, not by doing it, trying it once and then giving up. You know, I'm going to pray for all sorts of signs and wonders to come forth from this church, not because I need that, not because I want the reputation, because I want the glory to be given to God. Me and Jeannie don't seek money. We don't seek anything but God's glory and God's glorification through his people. That's all that we care about.
Amen.
Honestly.
Wake me up, Pastor. Wake me up.
Wake up, brother. Someone got something I can throw at him? I love you, John. First, Mary's, okay, and then again. Secondly, in response to his mother's faith, Jesus performs the miracle. Yeah. It's the faith that draws the miracle out from Jesus. He says, it's not my time. She says, well, I think it is.
Yeah.
And I'm your mama. Well, you know what? I'm God's favorite child. And so are you. How many of you are God's favorite? Every single one of you is God's favorite. Every single one of us. Because we are one in him. So there can't be no distinction. It can't be like one, two, three, four, five. You're fifth best. You know what I'm saying? Can't be that way. Because we're one in Christ. So it only counts as all of us being God's favorite. I have no problem saying that. I am God's favorite. I want you to say that too. I want you to believe that. So let's go down to John 4 now. It's John 2. Let's go down to John 4, 46 through 49. So he came again to Cana in Galilee, the same place where he changed the water into wine. This is important. Where he had made the water wine, and at Capernaum there was an official whose son was ill. And when this man heard that Jesus had come from Galilee Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And Jesus said to him, and this is the part I want you to hear, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. I'm telling you, unless they see signs and wonders, they will not believe. The official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus doesn't. He just looks at him and says, your child's well. And he went, checks with his servants, and sure enough, there was a healing that took place. Jesus didn't have to be physically there, and Jesus doesn't have to be physically here. If Jesus meant miracles to stop, there would have been some sort of message of that. Unlike the cessationalism, we don't believe in that. We believe the miracles continue to this day. And we believe that God wants to work those miracles through each one of us.
Glory.
And you know what? It doesn't take like some sort of, you don't have to get fancy with your words and throw yourself around and beg and plead. All you have to do is be persistent in God's word. Amen? And apply it to your daily life and trust God and not worry about the fear of men or the fear of failure.
Amen.
But be focused on watching God manifest for his glory. I want these words to enter your soul right now. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Now, I'm not talking about you seeing them. I'm talking about them seeing them. Without signs and wonders, we will never completely be effective in reaching the lost. If Jesus needed them, so do we. The third area I want to talk about, and this is fun, I'm going to talk about healing. Now, there's mysteries to healing that we don't know the answers to. I mean, we just had our beloved sister Yoli pass away. We had Charlana, who's very, very young, pass away. You might say, Pastor, well, you have a lot of gall up there preaching about healing when people didn't receive their healing. There are times I haven't received my healing, but there are times that I have been healed. I want to tell you just about one instance right now. It's just a minor one. This is about 12 years ago, I'm going to guess. I had a flu. I had a really bad flu. I mean, everything, the fever, the sweats, everything. But there was a prophetic conference that I knew that God was calling me to. I didn't want to infect people, but I wanted to be obedient to God. And I knew that he was calling me to this conference. And so I went to the conference. I tried to stay away from people. But I just said, Lord, I got to go because I know you need me. I know that you want me to be there.
Amen.
And so I went to that conference, and I remember praising God. I was just like, Lord, don't let me get anyone sick. I just want to be healed and touched by you. And it was like there was a moment, and I want you to hear this. There was a moment where I felt the tangible presence of God, and I reached up, and I just kind of grabbed onto it. The second I did, it was like things came down my arms, and every symptom of the flu and everything went away from me. I was completely normal. No sore throat, nothing in my... And here's the thing. Now, here's the thing that you got to know. People can be pressed into a point where they think they're being healed, you know what I'm saying, because they want it so bad. The symptoms never came back. I was healed that day, and I was just in the middle of it. It never came back.
Amen.
And I was completely and totally healed. And it wasn't because I was some famous person put their hand on me, or it wasn't because, you know, I had some outrageous gift of faith in that moment. It was because I was desperate to be where God wanted me to be. Hear what I'm saying. I was desperate to be there. And in that moment, I just reached up and grabbed on to what God showed me in the Spirit. And the second I did, I received my healing. And God did that as a lesson. Now listen, I want to tell you, I'm just a frail human being like you. Right here, I have a scar on my neck where I lost my thyroid. And it was removed from me because of some sort of cysts and stuff that were on it. So, you know, there are times where we struggle to receive our healing. I don't want you to feel bad about it, but I want you to know that God desires you to be healed.
Right.
He desires you to be healed. You're not to feel guilty. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to make some grandiose gesture. All you have to do is trust God. Amen?
Yeah.
And see what God does. I don't understand the mystery. I know I've seen people healed from cancer. I've seen people healed from different things. I'm a skeptic. So when I say I've seen them and know them, not only did I follow them up, I followed them up 9 years later.
Yes.
They're still healed.
Hallelujah.
God works miracles.
Yes.
But I don't understand all the rules. I know there's a battle. I know there's an enemy. I know there's a struggle. And I know there's a back and forth. And I know people get healed and sometimes they lose their healing. I don't understand everything, but I know this. God says it's part of our covenant. And that's what I want to show you right now so that you know how to stand for your healing. In Isaiah 53:4-5, it says this. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. Now that word peace is shalom. We're going to talk about that. And with his wounds we are healed. That word healed is rapha. These are the two provisions from the covenant. It talks all about the things we did wrong, all the things that Jesus did to pay for those, all the wounds and the piercings and all that. But then it says you get two things out of this. You get peace. What does peace mean? It means wholeness. How does it give you wholeness? Complete wholeness, body, soul, and spirit with God. Your relationship with God is restored. You are connected back to the vine that gives you life. That's what it's talking about. So that provides wholeness in you, and you can now have relationship with God your Father.
Amen.
The second word that's in that phrase there, healed, is the word rapha. And rapha means healing. It means healing, body, soul, and spirit. But it means healing specifically in the body. If we go to Matthew 8:16-17, please put that up. And that evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Next verse. That was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases, showing that it wasn't just spiritual healing, but that it was physical healing. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's a promise of the covenant. Now it's up to us to enforce that promise by stepping into it and trusting God for it. Now there's a lot of things. As you get older, man, you get more challenges. How many of us know that growing old isn't for sissies? Now, I don't want to embarrass this person, but Peck, could I have you stand up? Just stand up. I'm not going to have you talk. This woman here, did you not have stage 4 cancer? Did you? And how long ago was that? 2008, so like 12 years ago or so? Stage 4 cancer 12 years ago.
I was 62 years old.
62 years old, and she had stage 4 cancer. And what happened to you?
Said she didn't have to talk.
You see it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'll do it for you. I'm sorry. She was miraculously healed by the power of God. Let's give the Lord a go ahead and say. Now, wait a minute. She wants to say something.
We can't hear you.
A friend of yours is a Christian. She was not a believer at the time, but a Christian prayed for her.
And she said that church is going to have a healing service.
They're going to have a healing service.
Yeah, she asked me to come. She lived in San Diego.
Somebody gave her this.
Can anyone hear that?
Yeah.
Now we're going to give her a mic. Oh, this is her fear, guys. So give her a clap, because this is tough for her. Well, I want to give God glory for what He did in you.
So, a friend of mine, she is a Christian in a charismatic church, and she told me that this. Her church is going to have a healing service on one Sunday, 10 o'clock, instead of regular service. And then she asked me to go there, and I went there. So, and there's a woman, she put the oil on my head, and a cross like the oil, and then she pray. She pray in tongue only, no natural language. So she pray, otherwise suddenly I cry. So I didn't understand why I cry. I was embarrassed, but I would try to hold it myself, but I kept crying. And at the end of the service, the pastor announced that cancer has been healed. At the time, I have no idea if it's me or somebody else got healed. But a week later, I went to the doctor to have my blood checked. And the doctor was surprised because the result came up normal. There's no cancer mark. The cancer mark was high before, so there's no chemotherapy because I was allergy. There is chemotherapy doesn't work for me.
You were allergic to the chemotherapy?
Yes.
So she couldn't have chemotherapy?
No.
Basically a death sentence.
Yeah. So, and then she, and that came normal. And this has been 12 years. Every month I went to the doctor to check up the blood. And then every 3 months and then every 6 months. Now it's every year. I still go to the doctor to check up. So next checkup is in April.
The cancer is really bad. I went through the chemo. I'm a survivor twice, and I was allergic to the Decathlon. It's one of the recipes for the cocktail they give us for, like, sister and me that we went through the chemotherapies. It's really hard. It's really suffering. It's really bad because they give you a pale looks with, like, chicken pots everywhere, like reactions for the and they had me the machine next to me. It's true what she says. I was allergic. And it take me also 8 months radiation. And what she says, you guys, I don't know if you, any one of you went through a treatment. It's really suffering. It's really painful. And it's discouraged if you're not really hold on to God. Because believe me, not only you, your loved ones. Yeah. And it's, believe me, it's a sad story, but it's also a good result. Like she's praying for God for that miracle she did. And it's the same thing for me. But I know what she's talking about. And believe me, it's really, really suffering.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks,
John.
God, for the prayer.
We need to.
Through cancer and you've been through chemotherapy, how many of you remember how you just held on to Jesus? So I go through the valley of shadow. We want to acknowledge you, and you are heroes and champions, and either way, Jesus is still your healer. The chemo doesn't heal you. It's God who heals you. It'll cut back and it'll break the power of cancer sometimes, but it's Jesus that actually heals your body. Amen. So, but let me tell you something about Peck's story that is amazing and applicable to you in a supernatural way. She was not a Christian at that time. Were you, Peck? Where
yes,
are you? I can't
that.
See you. Peck, you were not a Christian at that time, were you? And in fact, she didn't come to the Lord for some time after that. Amen. Right? Yeah. This brought her to the Lord. You know, she felt the Spirit of God come on her, and this pointed her towards Christ, right? You were a Buddhist, is that right? Or
I wasn't a Buddhist.
You weren't a believer in anything. So what? So is it just Christians that you have to pray for to be healed? No. And in fact, I'll tell you the truth. God will supernaturally, abundantly show off his power to unbelievers. You know what I'm saying? So get, Jesus said, lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. Oops, sorry.
That's perfect. No problem. Amen. Now listen, just to see around you, many of you have been to healing meetings, many of you have been prayed for, many of you other people. I'm going to ask right now how many of you, just by show of hands, how many of you have actually received a healing from God? Raise your hands up. I want you to look around this room right now, you that don't believe. These are people who actually have received a healing from God. Amen? Let's give the Lord a clap. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there that are waiting for hospitals to be cleared out, and they just believe God's going to do this amazing thing. I want to tell you what. God isn't here to demonstrate his power so that you believe in his power. He knows he has the power. He's there to draw attention to his gospel. Amen? So this isn't about show-off time. This is about God strategically doing this to show his glory among them. And so I don't think if every Christian got healed of everything and never died, everyone on the earth would become a Christian, because who wants to die, right? So there's a balance there that God does. But I want you to know it's a covenantal right. You have a covenant right for physical healing, emotional healing, and spiritual healing. Amen? And you are healed once you give your life to Jesus. Do you know that when you give your heart to Jesus, that day that you make that decision, the Bible says you become a new creation.
Yeah.
A new creation. Amen? So I want you just to bow your heads for a moment. In a few minutes after we're done with this, we'll line up on the wall, the elders of the church, according to, can you put up that scripture and just leave it up, the one from James? Thank you. I just want that left up there. If you come here today and you don't know Jesus, and you're like, is this true? Is this really, really real? I want you to know right now that no one has ever done what Jesus has done. No one has healed all the sick. No one has healed, has raised the people from the dead. No one has ever done what Jesus did. He did so many things that an obscure man from an obscure place in the Middle East has changed the world, one person, and his name was Jesus Christ. And he did not do it with violence or by the sword, but he did it by the word and by the demonstration of God's love. There is no one else. There is no second place in the whole world. Buddha didn't do it. Muhammad didn't do it. No one did what Jesus did. There's no confusion. There's no doubt. Everyone, all these non-believers try to say, well, there are many historical people that were like Jesus. No, there wasn't. There's no other demonstration of being raised from the dead. Not only did he raise others from the dead, but he himself was raised from the dead. Can you imagine that? He said, you can destroy this temple, but in 3 days, I will raise it up.
Yeah.
No one has ever done what Jesus has done. You have good, rational reasons for believing in Jesus Christ. I'm asking you, as you bow your heads right now, we're going to make an invitation to anyone here that wants to receive Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, it was the greatest day of my life, the day I gave my heart to Jesus. It was a great day. I was in a church just like this. I received an altar call just like now. And I gave my life to Jesus, and it changed me forever. Father, with all us in presence, Lord, and you as a witness, we're going to say a prayer, Lord, and I want you to hear the hearts of these people and to know, Father, that they want you. Pray this. If you're serious about this decision and you've never given your life to Jesus or you're recommitting your life, I want you to say this prayer with the rest of us as we pray together to receive Jesus. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me, sending your only Son. Today I repent of my sins, all my wrong actions, all my wrong words, and I ask for your forgiveness. As I today receive your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father, for loving me. Thank you for sealing me with your Holy Spirit now. And thank you for transforming my life. In Jesus' name.